I tell you, if you haven't felt the Lord this morning, it's your fault. Amen. John chapter 10, I'm going to start reading in verse 10. I want you to let your hearts and your minds really dwell on what the Lord has done for us. I'm not just talking about how good he's been to you. I'm not talking about the answered prayers. You see, all that's great. But there was something that took place a little over 2,000 years ago that paid for your salvation.
Amen.
Amen. David read that this morning, and I thought about it as Simeon was holding baby Jesus, and he said, I've seen thy salvation.
Yeah.
And like David said, salvation ain't a plan. Salvation is a person.
Right.
Amen. It's all about Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 10. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Now listen, and I lay down my life for the sheep. God, we love you, and we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done this morning, for what you're doing in our church over the last several months. God, you're moving in a special way, God. And God, it's just exciting to be able to come to church, God. Lord, and you see what you're doing. And God, I pray, God, you'd move right now, Lord, in this remainder of the service. Speak to hearts, God. If there's one that's not where they need to be, God, if there's one that's lost, help them to realize that today's the day of salvation. They don't have to leave that way, Lord. If there's one and they've been saved, God, and they've drifted away, God, touch that heart, God. And God, you know what we need, and we'll put it in your hands right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while on the thought of Jesus chose to love us. Jesus chose to love us. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, Jesus Christ did not die for the preacher, and Jesus Christ did not die for the deacons, and Jesus Christ did not die for the Sunday school teachers. We became that because, amen, he died for us. But Jesus died for the drunk. He died for the drug addict. He died for that one that was living in sin. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave me this thought several weeks ago, and I don't know how the Lord worked this in my mind, but I want to preach on some things that Jesus chose. Jesus chose to love you. I want you to think about just a few things. Now, Jesus chose his birth. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this. Jesus chose his birth. In other words, the Bible tells us, and it foretells us in the Old Testament, that Jesus chose his birth. Who do you think that sent? Who you think it was that sent the angel to Mary? It was Jesus. Jesus chose his birth. Jesus also chose his family. And we'll get in a lot of this in the next few weeks as far as Christmas. But he chose his family. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God into Galilee named Nazareth and to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. In other words, he chose who his mother was going to be. He chose who his earthly father was going to be. He's the one that sent the Gabriel to both of them. The Bible tells us that when Gabriel came in, Gabriel said, I am the one that had been sitting in the presence of God. In other words, I'm the one that was sitting there listening to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm the one that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost sent down here to you. He chose his birth, and he chose his family. He also chose the location he was going to be born. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting. He chose the location. He chose to reveal himself to the religious leaders at 12 years old. That's what our Sunday school was about this morning. In other words, at 12 years old, you have a child walks into the religious leaders and starts telling them everything that they don't know. They think they know everything. Until this youngin' comes up there and he starts talking to them and telling them he chose to reveal himself. Now listen. See, Jesus chose a lot of things. But now the message is going to turn a little bit. I want to preach just a little while now on what Jesus allowed to happen. He allowed the people to mock him. Now listen, Luke chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. And when they could not find by way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with a couch in the midst of Jesus. And when they saw his faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God? And in other words, during his lifetime, David talked about it this morning in Sunday school. His mother and father were probably ridiculed as he was growing up. Oh, that's the girl there that had a child out of wedlock. That's not his real daddy. And understand, they mocked him from his child. But then when he started his earthly ministry, the Bible tells us that there was a situation and the house was full and they tore the roof off the house and lowered this man down right in the middle of him. And Jesus just looks over at him and Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And them religious leaders, well, who is this that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God? They didn't realize they was talking to God. Let's just kind of keep it. I'm going to try to keep this as good as I can. Amen. But if that had been me, I'd have struck all of them dead. Amen. I preached a message years ago. If I was God, oh, yeah, you would get one shot at it and that'd be it. I'd kill everybody. You mock my son, you spit on my son, everybody's going to die. But Jesus allowed them to mock him. Jesus allowed them to arrest him. Think about that now. And yeah, when you think about what he's like, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. John chapter 18. And Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests, Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, now listen, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, which betrayed him, stood with him. Now listen, and as soon as he had said, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. In other words, they come out to arrest Jesus. Judas is leading the charge. They come up and Jesus sees them coming. And Jackie, Jesus goes to them. Jesus says, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I'm him. And it scared them so bad that they fell backwards. He was God. His word was God. He allowed them. Oh, they couldn't have arrested him if they wanted to. He had to allow them. Melvin, he had to let them do it. And as they're grabbing a hold to him and as they're putting chains on him, can't you imagine what he's thinking? I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. Jesus allowed them to have a mock trial. Amen. It's estimated that 18 to 21 Jewish laws were broken just to try Jesus. It was illegal in the time, and the capital trial could not be held at night and not on the Passover. It was illegal in the location, at the high priest's home and not in public. It was conspiracy and bribery. The leaders had to bribe Judas and the witnesses. I could go on and on and on about this, but Jesus allowed them to have a mock trial. Jesus allowed them to find him guilty. He allowed them to find him guilty. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. Jesus allowed them to beat him. He allowed them to spit on him. I thought about it, and Robert said something this morning in Sunday school about the passion of the Christ, and my mind always goes, this time of year, my mind always goes to that scene where they're bringing Jesus down the street, and they're beating him, and they're spitting on him, and his mama's sitting there crying. Can you imagine what he felt as he looked over at his mama, and he said, I'm doing this for them. I'm doing this for Charlie. I'm doing this for Taylor. I'm doing this for Skip. I'm doing this for you. He allowed them to beat him. He allowed them to put him at the whipping post. He allowed them to chain him down and beat him with a... He allowed them to do that. He allowed them to put him on the cross. They couldn't have put him on the cross if they wanted to. He allowed it to happen. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53 says this, Thinkest thou not that I could call now and pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That's 72,000 angels. He could have called 72,000 angels down to this earth and wiped out all of humanity. We know that one angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 soldiers. What could 72,000 angels? Jesus said, hey, just hold on a minute. I'm doing this for them. I'm giving my life for them. I'm giving my life for Dallas. I'm giving my life for Melvin. I'm going to hang on this cross just so that they'll have an opportunity to be saved. Jesus chose to die. See, the misconception is that they killed him. Oh, no. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Y'all do realize we're talking about the one that went by Lazarus's tomb and said, hey, Lazarus, get up. We're talking about the same one that stopped a funeral procession with the widow of Nain and called that one out of the ground. We're talking about the one that had power over life and death. They could not kill him. You got to understand something. Medically, it's almost impossible for somebody to go through what Jesus did and not die at the whipping post and not die when they did a... It was a miracle. You know why? Because he couldn't die. He was God. He allowed them to do that. And he allowed himself. He chose to die. He chose to rise himself again. The Bible talks about on the third day, amen. He told them it was going to happen in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must needs go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. He told them he was coming back. He told them they're going to kill me. He told them they're going to place me in the grave. He told them on the third day, glory to God, I'm coming back. He chose to do that. He also chose where he's going to be seated. Bible says that, hey, and after 40 days, he rose up, David. And the Bible says he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Right now, making intercession for you and I. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He also chose that he's going to be seated at the judgment seat of Christ. When all of us Christians, when we have to stand before him and be judged, he's going to be seated at the judgment seat of Christ. If you go to Revelation chapter 20, he's going to be seated at the great white throne judgment. In other words, it's going to be Jesus Christ, the one that allowed all this to happen. It's going to be him that judges each and every one of us. See, one thing that was out of his hands is when he returns. Matthew chapter 24 says this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." God the Father is the one that's going to make that choice. Jesus did all that, Ronnie, and he said, "I'm doing this for you. I love you so much that I'm going to allow them to spit on me. I love you so much that I'm going to allow them to beat me. I love you so much that I'm going to allow them to crucify me. I love you so much that I'm going to allow them to take and put me on a cross. I love you so much that I'm going to allow them to..." And then he chose to die. But he said, "Alan, I love you so much, I'm coming back." Amen. Amen. "I love you so much that they ain't going to keep me dead." Guess what? He also loves us so much that he's coming back to get us. See, some things Jesus chose to do. And now this morning, you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. Miss Olivia's going to come. I'm going to get her to sing for us. But I want you to think about it just a minute. Kevin, what he allowed himself to go through because he loves you. What he allowed himself to go through because he loves you. And if we're not careful, we go through life and we really don't think about how good God's been to us. We go through life and we just kind of throw our hands up. Oh, we all know the Christmas story and we all know the Easter story and we think we know what. No, you don't have no idea what Jesus did just so you don't have to die and go to hell. We don't have no idea about the pain that Jesus had to go through just so you and I don't have to die and go to hell. There is a way, glory to God, that you can escape that eternal damnation, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You got to make a choice. Somebody said one time, every choice comes with a consequence. Once you make a choice, you must accept responsibility for that choice. You cannot escape the consequences of your choice, whether you like it or not. Amen. What you going to choose this morning? God's been moving in a mighty way in this church in the last several weeks. What are you going to choose this morning? See, somebody's going to make a choice this morning, heaven or hell. Somebody's going to make a choice this morning, I'm going to go be with Jesus. I'm going to stay with Jesus, or I'm going to stay with the world. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. Look up at me real good. I don't care what the Pope says. There ain't no such thing as purgatory. The Bible says as a tree falls, that's how it's going to lay. In other words, when you make your choice this morning, you think about that. You're going to have to live with that choice. I'll never forget, I was in a service one time. I was preaching, and I preached on the Proverbs, I think 17, I can't remember exact verse. It said, "An evil man seeketh on a rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him." Somebody's got to make a choice this morning. I'm not saying that after this morning that God's going to take you out into eternity. You might live 100 years, but this could be your last opportunity to be saved. This could be your last opportunity to be saved. God, we love you.